morning, and welcome back to your morning conversation here on KXCV. Karen W., I'm your host, Jeremy Werner. Joining me this morning is Northwest Missouri State University President Dr. Lance Tatum. President, thank you for joining me this morning. This is, you know, you've kind of settled in. First year in the books, your inauguration ceremony last spring. What is your outlook for the 24-25 academic school year?
The first year is really just trying to figure out what's going on, meeting people, getting more comfortable in the position. I think this year is really the year that we feel like we've got some momentum moving forward. At the inaugural speech, I really kind of laid out three broad priorities that we're going to build goals upon as we move forward. Enrollment is always going to be an important piece of what we do at Northwest. The undergraduate population is something we have to continue to try to drive increases in. That's the most challenging segment that we have. I think overall the enrollments have been fantastic, but those enrollments include dual enrollment, international graduate, professional development, continuing ed types of credit. So I really think that we'll spend a lot of time working toward an improved strategy of how we're going to kind of tackle the undergraduate piece. The other area that we're looking a lot deeper into is the collegiate experience. I think the college is more than just going to class. I think it involves everything that you live while you're at a university. And so Dr. Baker and I have been talking a lot lately about how do we keep that cultural secret sauce that we have here at the institution that makes Northwest really unique and popular to people that come here. But how do we expand? What is the next 10 to 15 years going to look like in higher education as it relates to what you do outside of a classroom but on a college campus? And I think that involves everything from the food part of it to the residential part of it to recreation. There are great pieces that are already in place here, but we really need to stretch ourselves and look at specifically what are the things that we can provide students that attracts them to the institution that perhaps they can't get at every other university that they're looking at. And then the last area is our people. I think that the great strength of this institution is in the people that work here. You go out and you talk to alumni groups, you talk to community groups, they'll talk about this place with a certain passion and reverence that is really impressive. And so we spent the last year really digging into that. What is that that makes this place so special? And I think at the end of this, we've concluded that it's the people that work here. People are very committed to their jobs, are very committed to serving students. I think that we continue to hire people that have some connection to this university. I think that's an important element, but I think it's also important to recruit outside folks into the institution that can bring perspective to what we do. So this year will be built on, we're going to look at the compensation model. I think that's something that we started really 2 years ago. We were given a report from the vendor we contracted with on what that might look like. There are pieces of it I wasn't very pleased with. The Board of Regents was very gracious in giving us a 3% cost of living increase, which gave us a little bit of time to really dig into the compensation study a little bit deeper. So we're going to work on that. We're going to work on professional development, leadership development. I think we've got to grow our own. I think we've got to support people that have aspirations to do more than just what they're doing. I understand that you can grow people up and then they can leave and go off to other universities or other employment areas. That's fine. Like I said, I think that we just want to invest in people and help them get to where they want to be in life.
So all of the things you just mentioned kind of tie into the issue that is affecting every university, not just Northwest, but in-person attendance. And you've most likely seen the numbers. You've most likely seen it being in education for years. But there has been this kind of shift to virtual, or I don't want to go to class. I just want to learn over Zoom, or I want to take classes online. And a lot of people kind of point back to the pandemic as to when this kind of became a huge issue. Do you see this as kind of a blip on the radar? Do you see it as a new emerging trend in higher education?
That's a great question. I think that it's a debatable question. I think there's plenty of research that's being conducted right now to try to determine if the allure of leaving your home and going off to a college campus and spending three, four, 5 years there is still going to be the trend moving forward. I think the pandemic, there's kind of a before the pandemic population, and then there's this post-pandemic population. So the pre, in my mind, are the millennials who graduated from high school, came to college, and then got sent home because of what happened with the pandemic. I think that group really became a bit disenchanted with the collegiate experience because what they thought it was going to be, it didn't turn out to be that. My son is a great example of that. He was a freshman in the fall of 19, ended up going to a university, and in the spring of 20 got sent home. He really struggled to recover and wasn't as attracted to the idea of that on-campus college experience. And so I think that group probably is struggling. I think there's a group coming, though, post-pandemic, who really have some interest in what that collegiate experience could look like. These are students who were in high school, middle school during the pandemic, and now they're ready to kind of spread their wings and see what's out there. I think online is going to continue to be a significant influencer to how students consume their education. It's convenient. We have students on our campus who are living in the dorm, taking online classes, and that gives them a great deal of flexibility in how many days they have to get up and get out of bed and get dressed and roll into a classroom. I think that's going to remain a part of the mix. But I don't foresee that the college campus goes away. I think it will continue to be a place where, you know, people want to try to grow and mature, and they want to get an experience with other types of people and a diverse group of people. And so I think I've read research that has said that there's actually going to be a resurgence in on-campus once we get through the next 5 or 6 years. Now, that next 5 or 6 years is going to be critical because I think the numbers are getting tighter as we look at the demographics. So we'll just have to make sure we diversify our recruiting base.
I'm sure plenty of returning students and new students are going to notice a lot of construction going on campus. Same with professors who've been gone all summer. Tell us about the construction and, you know, kind of back to your 5-6 years point of, you know, how this infrastructure and these repairs are all kind of, you know, helping with the long-term longevity of the campus.
Right, right. So Northwest is not unlike many universities who are in that 119, 120 year existence. And so what you find is that much of the infrastructure that was built to support the campus generally came in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And so as you get into today's world, you're operating with water systems, wastewater systems, HVAC actually lived beyond their life cycle. We had systems here at Northwest that were really 20-year, 30-year types of systems that we had gotten, you know, 50 years out of. And that's remarkable. But I think at the end of the day, what I want to be able to do is to provide an environment where students and employees can come to campus and not be disrupted because we have an HVAC failure or we have a water failure or we have some other type of system that really kind of supports the behind the scenes what we do at the university. So what you see now is phase one of a 3-phase project. We have most of campus dug up. They have been focusing on the sewer system as well as the steam pipe system. We'll go from a centralized steam plant configuration to a more dispersed configuration, which means instead of having one centralized steam plant where if it goes down, the whole campus goes down, we'll put different steam factories out on campus so that we can use them to keep that part of campus going and then repair the other part. And we can actually divert steam. That's part of the steam pipe reconfiguration that's going on right now, so that we can divert from one station to another and still keep the campus functioning through whatever failure would occur. The hope is that what we do over the next 3 to 4 years will put this campus into a position of not having to worry about those types of basic systems to operate for the next 20 to 25 years.
So a key part of infrastructure is sometimes newer buildings, especially with the demolition of a few buildings on campus last year. Where are, you know, discussions when it comes to newer buildings on campus, whether it's, you know, just kind of in the planning, action, or even just, you know, discussion?
Yeah, that's something. So the current campus master plan that we're operating under was developed in 2016. And so what we've decided as a leadership team is that we'll spend this next year getting ourselves ready to relook at the campus master plan in the next academic cycle. And so we'll bring a consultant in that will help us work through the current plan and what we may want to modify or change as we move into a newer plan. Certainly part of the master plan involved removing some of the dormitories that we've done, North Complex, Phillips Hall. But we haven't totally decided what we're going to do with those green spaces. We know that there will be sometime in the future where we'll look at the residential life model and try to determine what is the next res life building to look like. It most likely will not be built in the configuration of Franken or Milliken or Dietrich. The days of communal living, one hall or one floor using one bathroom with 60 people is probably not something that we will build new. It'll probably be more of an independent room style with shared bathrooms with no more than two or three people. And so I think right now what I would say is that the spaces that we've cleared are just going to remain green spaces for the immediacy. But we're going to look and see what's going to be best used. We will always be renovating and improving the existing facilities. Garrett Strong right now is going through a lab renovation. Last year we were awarded a Mo Excels grant from the state that's going to allow us to go in and total date five of the laboratories we have in that building that have needed some updating over the last several years. It'll really be able to bring that to a very modern state. We know that there are things that are going to be associated with Martindale. We've started the second phase of Martindale that's going to extend it out to College Avenue. That's going to give us a chance to build into that structure labs for exercise physiology, nutrition, dietetics, overall well-being areas. So we'll continue, but a brand new building, a brand new constructed building that maybe houses a school or a college or a specific function, we haven't quite gotten to that decision.
Technology has always been kind of a feather in Northwest's cap. Going back all the way to when Northwest became one of the first universities to offer laptops to students. Technology now, a lot of it has been focused on artificial intelligence, and every university has kind of dealt with in their own way and discussed in their own way how to handle AI. What is Northwest's plan right now in handling AI?
Yeah, I think the conversation around artificial intelligence really is something of a segmented discussion as the use of AI within certain fields or within certain of education. I think that there are great advantages that come with using artificial intelligence. One area that we've been talking about is, so when a prospective student shows interest in Northwest, there's a series of very direct and very targeted messaging that begins to get sent out to that student. And where they live, what high school they go to, perhaps what clubs they're involved in, all of that goes into crafting this message because we want it to be personalized. We want it to be to feel intimate to that student. We do that right now by hand, right? We have people that sit down and write messaging. We can't quite get to the singular detail of all the students who are interested. So it's a little bit of a generic. I think AI can be of great use in that area because what we can do is we can say for students that have these types of characteristics who come from these types of high schools, who come from this part of the state, you know, be very targeted to what they might be interested in. And so it's going to help let some of our workforce. It'll give us more capacity, more efficiencies in those areas. I think how it is involved in what we do in our research is going to be another area that is going to have great impact. You can leverage AI to do work for you without you having to sit at the computer and input data or to build queries or those types of things. It can be very efficient in that way. I think the last part of it is, how does it play out in the classroom? I've talked to faculty who have, questions about what's going to be our position on writing papers in English 101 if we know that a student merely just has to go into an AI platform and type in the four or five different main ideas that we're asking them to write on, and it writes the paper for them. And I said, well, that's a great question. I think that communicating through the written word is part of what we do at the institution. It's part of what a college experience should be. But I also think that we may have to look at how we actually assign work within those classes. And it may be less of out-of-class work and maybe more of in-class work, where the writing projects are a little shorter, maybe more targeted, and they're actually done in class and then turned in and graded while the student is out. So we're talking about, Dr. Hoyman and I have had a lot of conversations about AI. Our CFO, Stacy Crack, and I have talked a lot about how we use AI in certain platforms. And again, we use it now. Our IT office is using AI to go through hundreds and hundreds of emails to try to determine which ones should be quarantined and which ones should pass through. So I think it's probably more of our life than we realize, but there are certainly areas that we want to dig into a little bit deeper.
So not only looking at the year ahead, but beyond, you've had time over the past year to kind of reflect and take in the strengths and weaknesses of Northwest. What do you see the strengths and weaknesses as, and how do you plan on utilizing the strengths and tackling the weaknesses?
Yeah, you know, if you start with strength, my wife Jill and I, we do a lot of debriefing in the afternoons, particularly after we've had a full day of activities or we've been involved in some type of on-campus, off-campus event. And last year, we would sit down and we'd start talking about the people we had met and what were some of the characteristics of those individuals back to the university. Because there seemed to be this very deep passion about Northwest. And the more we talked about it, the more it kind of revealed itself to us that, you know, Northwest really isn't just a place, it's a feeling. And it's that feeling that drives and energizes the people that work here to do for students and to do for each other. So I would say one of the greatest strengths this university has is its culture. I think the culture of helping students and being there for students and helping each other, I think, you know, coming from the outside, I tell people, that's not at every place that you work. There's a uniqueness to that. So part of my responsibility is to preserve and build on that culture. And so I think that's a great strength. I think, you know, there's great strength in what we do here. I think regional universities are economic engines to rural parts of the state. And what we do in our education, in our computer science, in our ag areas, you know, we provide individuals who go into the workforce and who really support and lift the industries they go into in this part of Missouri and beyond. So I think that, you know, the strength is a diversified academic program base, and I think that that's part of the strength of what happens here at Northwest. You know, if you look at some of the opportunities that we have, we certainly are going to have to find a way to attract more undergraduate students to our university. The state gives us an amount of money to help support what we do here. They don't give us all the money that we need to operate. So we have to find ways to generate revenue. Some of that is through the tuition and fees that students pay. But the leadership team is very mindful, along with the Board of Regents, that there's a point at which we price ourselves out of the market. And so we've got to be very mindful of how we develop our enrollment profile and our enrollment portfolio so that we are inviting and recruiting students to campus that will help support through the volume the revenue we need to operate. And so, you know, the opportunity is to get better at what we do in recruiting students, to become more efficient at what we do, find the right type of student for Northwest. I think that, you know, just any student certainly can come here and be successful, but there's a certain profile of student I think that lends itself very well to this environment. That student is typically within 200 miles of Maryville, you know. I don't see a lot of students that come to us from the southeast corner of the state. If they do, it's typically because of athletics or because of a specific program. But we need to make sure that within our recruiting area that we're doing the very best that we can to get those students connected to Northwest and get them interested in coming here.
All right, Dr. Tatum, those are all the questions I have. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about or anything you'd like to mention?
You know, there's a lot to be excited about and a lot to be proud of when it comes to Northwest. Certainly, there was a lot in place from a foundational standpoint before I got here. This has been a place that's done very well over the years. And what we're very interested in doing is building on that foundation and moving this university, continuing to move this university forward. I think that what we do in our School of Agriculture, in our computer science, in our education areas, I think those are our programs that we will need to take a real critical look at and see how we can even strengthen those programs even more, because they're putting individuals into the workforce that support this part of the state and this part of the country. I think new program development is something we're very excited about, something we're interested in. There are programs that are out there that I think we can develop here at Northwest that will continue to expand our inventory, our academic inventory, that will benefit the state and will benefit the region. AI, certainly, and what we can do in artificial intelligence as it deals with our information systems programs, our computer science programs, are of great interest to me. So I'm excited about the future of Northwest. I'm excited about the people that work here, the people we've hired in this year, and we'll just keep moving forward.
All right, Dr. Tame, thank you for joining me this morning. Good luck this year. Once again, that is Northwest Missouri State University President Dr. Lance Tatum talking about the upcoming academic year here at Northwest. I'm Jeremy Werner, and this has been your morning conversation right here on KXCV KRNW.